Here we go. Yes, you are listening to Rumination Thursday on this May the 11th in the year of our Lord 2018. May the 11th, no, May the 17th. Wow, this month is halfway through. And with us on Rumination Thursday, of course, we have with us our good friend, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. How you doing, Wes?
I'm doing fine, Tom. How about you?
I'm fine. Yeah, I dropped my wife off at Walmart to buy me, you know, cheese, potato chips, all kinds of things. So I'll be picking her up after.
But you didn't give her the credit card, I'll bet.
No, I'm keeping it till I catch her going through the line.
Okay.
Yeah, and then our bank allows us to shred boxes of papers. And we're taking 6 full boxes of papers to them this morning.
Whoa.
And then they have a meal for you afterwards. And they do this 5 times a year. So, yep, we're having a lot of fun.
If I'd have known that, I'd have brought down all my boxes.
Yes. I'm going to introduce that if you have children, this may not be a broadcast of law and gospel that you would want them to hear, depending on their youth. And part of the reason we'll give it to you is that Pastor Reimnitz has told me about a law that is going through Illinois that might be passed. Can you explain this law to us?
Yes, it's SB 3249, and it's coursing its way through the House and the Senate of the state of Illinois, and it's about LGBT instruction. They label it as history instruction in general for all races, colors, and creeds, but specifically on page 4. They zero in on just LGBT and the role that it plays in the history.
And LGBT stands for?
Let's see, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender.
Yes. And so this is supposed to be something the teacher is teaching in a positive way.
Yeah, well, let me read what the legislation says. In public schools only, the teaching of history shall include the study and roles of contribution of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people in the history of this country and state. In other words, give their roles and contributions that they give. And it goes further on to say that no student shall graduate from the 8th grade of any school unless he or she receives evidence of having been instructed in this.
Well, I think it is about time that they start talking about certain Roman Catholic priests that are homosexual and what they did to the little children. I don't know how that contributes, you know, to society, but is that going to be part of the teaching?
Well, in essence, it could be because it's a role and contribution played in the history of the state and of their. I was thinking more in particular of John Wayne Gacy, as he coursed through many years ago in Peoria and Chicago.
What did he do for those unfamiliar with him?
Well, he would dress up in clown outfits and go to birthdays and that, and he preyed especially on boys, and they found many of his bodies underneath the houses that he owned in, I believe, Chicago, especially in Peoria.
Yes. What we're really telling Christian parents is you are going to now have pro-homosexual teachers who are going to be telling your children that that lifestyle is not wrong. Would that be correct?
That would be exactly correct. And the movement is trying to go from discrimination against such people to protected status that you can't speak out against LGBT.
Well, the Christian church will always speak out against LGBT because it's not only contrary to the will of God, but it's an abomination before Almighty God. And people who say, well, it's not in the Bible, all they need to do is read the Romans passage, which talks very clearly about men lying with men, etc. And that is an abomination before Almighty God. So I heard an interesting phrase that I think is kind of interesting, that the secular world has clocks, but the Christian church has time. And what was meant by that, or the way I'm interpreting it, is that, yeah, the secular world can have their clocks come out, like in 73, where it's no longer murder to kill a baby in the womb, according to the Supreme Court, or later on that you can now have gay marriage, as though that is okay with God. And we're really coming up against a huge amount of differences in regard to the cultural thinking of our day.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting that you should bring that up, because if you think of a railroad track with the two rails, on the one rail they're doing the bill passage on history of LGBT out of our state, and in some of our universities, they're having conferences on polyamory. Have you ever heard of that term?
What is it again?
Polyamory. P-O-L-Y-A-M-O-R-Y.
It sounds like you can love a lot of people.
Exactly. Yeah, you get the Greek and the Latin there. And they're having conferences on it that while you may be committed to a prime person, one person in your household, you could have many other romantic interests going on at the same time, and they're teaching that as a okay phase. Now, that came out in the 1990s, so the clock started on that one in the 90s.
Well, I'll tell you, the May 2018 Lutheran Witness, the official publication of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has some excellent articles. One of them I found really interesting, and I learned a lot about it, is the history of parochial schools in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You know, 180 years ago, a whole number of Lutherans left Germany, 700 of them, and set sail for America. What was their primary reason for going to America?
Wasn't it one over doctrine, being forced to believe certain ways in Germany?
Very close. That's what I would have said. Let me read. These Saxon immigrants might have been able to endure the state's persecution of their churches, but they could not endure the secular rationalism their children were being taught in the German schools. They left their country largely to protect their children's faith.
Wow.
I never knew that.
I didn't either.
I mean, that's a great insight. Heather Smith is the one who wrote this. It's just an excellent article. And one of the things she's saying is that there's only a few churches left that even have parochial schools. A lot of them used to. But right now, Lutheran Church and the Roman Catholic Church are the main two that continue to have parochial schools. And it got me thinking a little bit. I belong to a church with 2,000 members, and they decided to tear down their school. It's a large number of kids that are at the school, but they're replacing it with a $7 million school.
Wow.
And they've almost raised all the money already within a couple of months. And I can understand this, because I think the parochial school where we're going to be teaching traditional morality, etc., is going to make a huge difference down the line.
I would agree. And really, for those out in the more rural type areas, the problems that they're facing is the cost of teacher and keeping the school running, teacher salaries and that. Not that our teachers make a lot to begin with. They're sure worth it.
Yes. But I tell you, The great article, and I know you read it, was The Three Worldviews Parents Need to Confront by Kenneth Kramer. He, I believe, was on the Coffee Hour recently. But these things have totally changed people's views. We believe that there is one world, one God. But many people, they don't agree with the eternal kingdom. They're only agreeing with the material realities. And therefore, teaching that to our children is a challenge because the dominant culture dismisses God and talks about spiritual realities as though they're part of fiction. This leads also to the second point, is that the morality of the Bible is no longer considered true. Instead, we look to the Constitution of the United States, which, of course, permits the murder of children, and second of all, gay marriage. And then scientific studies are subject to revision with new information. So you've got all these scientists who believe in evolution rather than the way it really occurred.
Well, you know, as you bring up that point in some of the readings on this bill that's coming up, is that they're not going to touch the religious values that are against...
How can they not? That's part of the history.
I know, but yeah, I would agree with you.
That's like saying we're going to talk about racism and just the benefits of racism.
Well, they seem to imply, too, that God made them that way, so it's okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what homosexuals say, and that's what pedophiles say. You see, and this is the point I want to make today, and I've done some study on this, that I consider a unrepentant homosexual as a pedophile.
Mm.
And let me explain that, because a lot of people think that for a pedophile to be a pedophile, you have to do some action against children. And part of that has come about because of the Roman Catholic position on homosexual attractions. This was really interesting. The Roman Catholic Church distinguishes between homosexual attractions, which are not considered sinful, and homosexual sins, which are considered sinful.
Mm.
I mean, has nobody read the Sermon on the Mount?
I was going to say, didn't Jesus say out of the heart proceeds all evil?
Exactly, and he even gives the examples. If you even think of murder, that's as big a sin. If you even think of adultery, that's a sin, if you have that coveting in your heart. And so they have, I didn't realize this, but this is why they've run into so many problems, that... In the 2004 report of the bishops, they openly admitted the problem with so many priests with young children was a result of their being homosexual. And the bishops went so far to say that an understanding of the crisis is not possible without speaking of the presence of homosexually oriented priests. Now, why do I consider a unrepentant homosexual as being a pedophile? It's the Bible verses, and it's found in all three Gospels. I'll just read the one from Matthew 18. Whoever receives one such child, and he's talking about children, in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin. It is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. Now, you can't tell me that, and this is one of the reasons why a lot of Roman Catholic adoption agencies are going out of business, because they refuse to give a child to a homosexual couple. And the reason for that, of course, is that child will be getting the teaching from that homosexual couple that what they are doing, how they live, is not an abomination before Almighty God. And if that isn't tempting the child to go in that direction, I don't know what is.
I think what you also bring up, you know, when you also consider Romans 1, where it talks about that too, that it indicates that all these things that people are doing are actually destroying our society. It's destroying mankind.
Well, look at Sodom and Gomorrah.
Gomorrah, yes.
Why do we think we call it sodomy? I mean, it's so obvious. Now, by the way, the original Greek is kind of interesting. The King James says, it doesn't say whoever causes one to believe in me to sin. It says, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones. And The word for offend is, and I'm going to say it in the Greek, scandalizo.
It's scandalous.
It's scandalous. And here's what it means. To put a stumbling block or impediment in the way upon which another may trip and fail. In fact, I don't see how the state of Illinois can tell teachers to tell children that homosexuality is okay when they are so against priests who did that. Remember, when priests had these terrible situations with these children, they didn't force the children. No, they said it was the will of God. And a poor child didn't understand that it wasn't the will of God and therefore participated many a time. All you have to do is interview some of these children. They thought they were doing the will of God because that's what the priest says. And that's what every unrepentant homosexual says. It's the will of God to have these gay relationships.
Yeah, and, you know, they go to this open sex situation, too, among the high schoolers, is that concept, friends with benefits. That's so okay to be actively engaged in sexual activity, whether it's in an LGBT situation or a heterosexual situation. That's not helping matters either.
No. I love when I hear, you know, homosexuals says, well, this is okay because we love each other. And they do not understand the difference both in the Hebrew and the Greek between love and lust.
Right.
If it's not something that God commands and authorizes, it never can be love. It only can be lust. And one of the things I find interesting, I like watching one of the channels, ID, investigative reports type things. And every time there is a homosexual family, there's always a problem in the family. There's guilt. There's all kinds of stuff going on. And it doesn't surprise me at all. Now, one of the things you said, I want to come back to because it's really important. The New York Times had an article where they said that pedophilia is not a crime, it's a disorder.
Ooh.
Isn't that something? They suggest that the disorder has neurological origins. And this is what the article actually was saying. It could result from a failure in the brain to identify which environmental stimuli should provoke a sexual response. And here's what they said. Those with pedophilia show fewer of the neural pathways known as white matter in their brains.
It'll be something else in a few years, too.
Well, no, that's a really good point. You can say that about murderers. You can say that about any people who steal. That they're born with a desire to steal. You know, And so if we're going to say that a homosexual or who is a pedophile, because they're telling children and tempting them to sin.
Yeah.
In fact, I also looked up, there are some great organizations that are attempting to help out pedophiles. The one is called the Blue Angel Association. And their article was really good. They said there is no standard pedophile. And here's how they describe the different pedophiles. There are exclusive pedophiles. They're only attracted to children. They're preferential pedophiles. They prefer children but are also attracted to adults or teenagers. And then there's non-preferential pedophiles who prefer adults or teenagers but are also attracted to children. We know of two ELCA pastors who got married, and they're male. And therefore, they would be under a non-preferential pedophiles because they prefer adults to do these actions with, or teenagers. Why are we putting teachers in jail who are fooling around with students in the classroom?
Yeah, because they're breaking the law.
Well, why is there such a law? That doesn't make any sense anymore now that it's okay. I mean, in fact, I was really upset. Chevrolet has a advertisement, and it's got three vans that this couple is looking at.
Right.
And it's a small one, a middle-sized one, and a big one. And here's what the salesman says. The first van is when you decide to live together. And they laugh. The second one is when you have a child, and the third one is when you have two children and a dog. But the fact that this is an advertisement. You know, it is so common. Show me a television program where people are thinking of getting married where they don't end up moving in with each other.
Yeah, I understand. I agree with you. You know, what breaks it down is something that you brought up, you know, many shows ago on Law and Gospel, that it breaks down into two religions, man's religion and God's religion.
That's right.
You know, the man's religion gets you into the pedophile that it's okay and God somehow is pleased that you do such things, versus God's religion is we take the scriptures just as he gave it to us.
Exactly. I mean, what is so bad is the Supreme Court. I believe that Christians are way too soft on these kinds of things. I mean, we need to start saying the word murderer more often in regard to abortion. Not just the doctors, but the women who murder their children. They passed a law, they're working on a law in a state where it says they can't do an abortion if the heart is beating in the child. And the governor has said, no, I'm not going to okay that law because it doesn't give rights to women. Well, who do you think is in the womb? A monkey?
Yeah, it could be a woman.
It could be, a female or a male. This is how good the devil is. And so I'm referring, and I do this when I drive for Uber. Remember, I was talking to this atheist. We went into the bar to continue to talk. He told me his mother was a lesbian, and I mentioned to him that I considered her also to be a pedophile. And he really got angry at me, and then I explained. I said, would your mother say to a child that it is an abomination to do lesbian activity? He said, no. And I said, well, you just made my point.
Oh, my goodness.
We need to start getting a lot stronger because our children are getting faced with all of these things and they need to be protected. And the way we do that is by helping them to understand Luther's Small Catechism better and many other things that way. Remember, what does the catechism say about the head of the household?
He teaches them how to pray and teaches them the catechism.
Yes, in the house. And in fact, it was kind of interesting that for a while, parochial schools did not want to have preschools because they felt that the preschool should be done by the parents. And then for education in the rest of the grade, you send them to a parochial school. Now, they've changed their mind about that because there are so many one-parent families, etc.
Oh, yeah, my grandkids go to preschool, and it's great because along with the parents teaching them how to pray and how to sing, they're picking that up at a religious
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, time is up.
Oh, it was too short. It's SB.
And by the way, people were phoning in.
Oh, my goodness.
So tomorrow's Open Mic Friday, folks, and you'll have the opportunity to phone if you have any questions or want clarification. But I think we Christians need to start speaking in the way that God thinks concerning this sin. The idea that the Roman Catholic priest can only have thoughts of homosexuality and those aren't sins, that's where the problem really begins. Thanks so much. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Long Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Long Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.